Hey everybody, welcome to Freedom Fastlane. This is Ryan Daniel Moran. In case you didn't know, the mission of Freedom Fastlane is to inspire, educate, and empower people to live extraordinary lives. And today's show is all about that. We're going to be joined by somebody that I've been listening to for most of my life. He's a stand-up comedian by the name Ken Davis. Now, Ken Davis has been making people laugh for decades now. He's been making me laugh for about 20 years, ever since I was a kid. But he's recently the author of a book called Fully Alive, and it had a profound impact on me. A little backstory, Ken is a guy who's in his late 60s now, and just in the last few years, he says that he's really discovered what it means for him to be fully alive. And sometimes he pauses and wonders, why didn't I learn all of this when I was 30? And so today, I've invited him onto the Freedom Fastlane show, not only to make us laugh, but to tell us the lessons that he wishes he had learned when he was younger about living fully alive. Today's call is a lot of fun. You'll get lots of good laughs out of this call with Ken, and you'll also get some really awesome nuggets about life. Pay attention to what he discovers is so important about life, and take special note of the conversation that Ken and I have about the pursuit of wealth and the danger of when it becomes the end all versus what it can give you as far as abundance in your life. The next 30 minutes contains some profound truths about life. So I hope you're ready. Get ready to live fully alive as we interview Ken Davis. Hey everybody, this is Ryan Daniel Moran, and you're listening to Freedom Fastlane. Today, you're in for a treat. We're meeting somebody that I've been following literally my entire life, and I'm really excited to share with you. His name is Ken Davis. He's a stand-up comedian, speaker, author, and just an overall fun guy. Today, he's going to be talking to us a little bit about his new project called Fully Alive, which is about living life to the fullest, and some great moments and realizations he's had in his life in the last few years. Ken, thanks so much for hanging out with me.
It's a privilege. It's good to meet you after all of these years.
I'm that guy who's been listening to your tapes and CDs all these years. So
that's great. That is super.
Ken, what really inspired me to share you with my audience was this moment that I saw when I was watching the trailer for your book, Fully Alive. Yep. And you talked about this moment in which you just realized that, I'm putting my own spin on it, but that life is a series of moments and each one of them is to be enjoyed. And you said, why didn't I discover this when I was younger? And somebody said, well, you've got today.
Yeah.
And I would really like for you to share that story about how you had that realization.
Well, I think we get so, I can only speak for myself. And of course, as in the book, as I've received response from the book, evidently there's a lot of people in the same boat. I think we get wound up in making a living and we forget to live. And I think we also get wound up in a culture that equates the American dream with making enough money so you don't have to live anymore, so that you can quote unquote retire, which a friend of mine, Anne Lamont's dad, said is basically living a life of leisure. The greatest leisure is death, and that's what happens. Hmm. So I was 50 something, and I had a picture. I'm sorry, I was in my early 60s. Your audience will understand that once you pass 50, you start to die, and that's what's going on here. But I had a picture taken of me on the beach. I was 60 pounds overweight. Ryan, the picture is in my book, and it looks like I'm a walking manatee. It was nasty. People on the beach yelling, move, we want to see the ocean. I had environmentalists coming out of the woods and pouring water on me and gently trying to push me back in the water.
That's a bad day.
That's a bad day. The truth of the matter is, though, that that was a picture of my soul. I was very successful. I was traveling the world. My financial advisor had told me that I probably wouldn't have to work another day in my life. And I was leaning on all of that stuff, and I had really stopped to live. I'd stopped risking. I think even in our culture today, Ryan, young people are afraid to risk. Well, what if I lose my job? Well, what if, you know, and I had risked early in my life and developed this amazing career, and then I forgot that living is about faith and family and love and doing something that makes a difference. And so I made a decision that day. This is a long answer to a short question, but I made a decision that day that I was going to change my life. And it started with the physical decision to compete in a triathlon. And that was the beginning of a whole new life for me. I can give you where I am now, which is at 67, experiencing life more fully than I've ever experienced it in my life. I am having a ball, and I am living with purpose again, and I wouldn't trade what happened to me for anything in the world. That picture was one of the moments you're talking about. There were many others, and they all were very, very significant, but I do remember the day I said to the gentleman that was with me, man, I can't believe how many, I wish I'd have learned this so many years ago to keep living like this. And he said, well, forget about the days gone by, you've got today. Yeah. Yeah. And that's all we got.
There's so many people, including myself, who can resonate with that feeling of, well, there are two feelings there where either you feel as though you're stressed and you've got to make a living your whole life to get to this magical place where you graduate and you're financially free.
Right.
Or two, those of us who are financially free and then we're like, well, what do I do now?
That's right. That's right.
And I call that filling the space. Once you have this mental space, your brain goes, if you don't fill it with, you know, being fully alive, your brain goes in and fills it with all kinds of negativity.
Yes.
And sabotages itself. And I would like for you to talk about, answer the question that I get most often, which is, how do I answer that question for myself of, what do I do next? Or what's my plan? Or what's my purpose? Or what am I passionate about? That I get that most often. And I got to confess, even I still ask that question sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to the beginning. Our passion, we are taught that our passion should revolve around being able to play golf every day for the rest of our life, which quickly gets extremely boring, especially if you play golf like I do. That isn't it. It's got to be something bigger than ourselves. And what I mean by that is manyfold. One thing is the happiest people I see, and the thing that has brought the most fulfillment to me, is to redirect my life from how much money can I make, how famous can I get, how big can I make my ministry or my job or whatever it is, to how can I empower other people. One of the reasons that I am so excited about the book Fully Alive and the motion picture that came out and we got curriculum for small groups that we're doing for it is because of the emails and Facebook messages and hundreds of them from people all the way from 18 to 80 saying, this has changed my life. Mm. When you know you're making a difference in people's lives, it makes a difference. I know older people who, one couple in their late 70s, they're past 75, who finally retired from what they were doing. It was in the automotive industry, and they're overseas helping in a hospital that helps people that have zero, that have absolutely zero. And their response when they heard this message was, these are the best years of our life. That's and awesome. They also grabbed a hold of that thing, if we'd only done this before. Forget before. Forget what's behind. You can't change that. But you do have control of today. And this is what I say. Why get up in the morning and wait for circumstances to direct your life? Mm. Why not take control of how you respond to those circumstances in such a way that you enjoy living? And why not take a risk financially to do what your heart has cried out for from the beginning?
Yeah, that's wonderful, and I can so resonate with that. And I would be curious to know, I agree with you, by the way, you can't change anything in your past, you only have now and forward. But for those who are under 40, who are 35 and younger, those of us who are fresh out of college.
Yes.
What do you say to those folks who are in that place of, I'm not sure what I want to do, but I've got my whole life ahead of me. How would you advise them?
I would respond to them: swim upstream. Don't just relax and go with what everybody else is doing. I believe that God put in each of our hearts He wired us in a certain way. Now, my wiring is all crossed up. He did that on purpose because it was his day off and he wanted to have some fun. But my wiring is all crossed up. So I've got a weird sense of humor. I love taking things that other people experience every single day and let them see how different it looks when you just stop to look at it. For instance, I just did a blog that's got a tremendous response, especially on Facebook and stuff. A lot of emails, a lot of comments on the blog about Siri. You know, the woman
the
on
the iPhone thing.
Yeah, who doesn't understand simplest English. Yeah. Yeah, I told her to call my cat. I have a home in Colorado. I said, call cabin. And she said, do you want cabin or cabin? I said, cabin. Call cabin. And she said, do you want me to call cabin or cabin? And I find myself screaming into the phone at a person that doesn't exist. What part of cabin don't you understand? And I swear to you, she said, call Uncle Stan. I don't show Uncle Stan in your... Oh. You know, I had both hands on the wheel. She's supposed to save lives, and I almost went into the trunk of the car in front of me just because I was filled with rage. So I have this ability to see things, help people, other people see them, and get over it because they've laughed at it. Now, let me tell you when that started. Again, I always give long answers to short questions. I was standing by a radio the size of a desk. Some of your listeners may not even know what I'm talking about. Radios used to be, could live in them. You know, homeless people lived in the left-hand side of them. They were huge. They had a record player, a radio, big dials. They were fascinating. I was listening to a comedy show. I can't remember what it was. I was still wearing a diaper. I remember that. And I remember I was screaming and dancing at the top of my, screaming at the top of my lungs and dancing with my diaper swinging low. It was a clue. My parents told me that from day one, I would try to make them laugh whenever anybody else would laugh. That was the direction I was going. That's a little sign of your wiring. And the book Fully Alive talks about as you go through life, you see those little signs. I think you were created with them. And if you ignore them, there's a deep hole in your heart. Some people do it this way. Some people have a regular job, and then they find a way to live out that the way they were wired as a hobby or as
yes.
volunteer work or something like that.
Yes.
Other people, like me, I feel so blessed and so fortunate. By the time I was 22 years old, I was making a full living, traveling with my family all over the world, doing what I absolutely loved to do. And so that's my advice. Look for those hints. I think they're there. Those things that bring you great joy. Those things that other people say, you know, when you do that, that's when I see you come alive. Find a way to express that, to live that out.
My own personal experience, I've been living this just recently, where a lot of people who listen to my podcast or read my blog know
right.
that I started Freedom Fastlane because I hit this point in which I said, I am not living in the skills and the talents that I know are baked into me from birth. I'm doing things because I get paid for them. And I started my first business when I was 18, and when I started my business, it was because I wanted it to support my life, and then it became my life. And
wow.
How common is that for people
yeah.
to say, I'm just
yeah.
going to go down this road and it'll support what I really want to do, and then you get trapped by it.
Yep.
And Ken, you said something in your story where it sounds like you lost that somewhere along the way, because at 22
yeah.
you were doing your passion.
Yeah.
Now in your 60s, it feels like you're back in there.
Well, I am back in there. And for me, it was a faith issue. A lot of it was a faith issue, too, because, you know, part of my work and part of my desire was to share my faith with people and help them work that. You know, so many people ignore that part of their life. And I had forgotten that. I was still saying it. But let me tell you something. If you lean on your bank account, this is just the truth for anybody. Agnostic, you name what you are, this is the truth. Lean on your bank account, it can let you down in a heartbeat. And it doesn't give you what you want. Some of the saddest people I've been with in my life are people who are famous and extremely wealthy and have never touched base with that part of them that they really want to be.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to George Clooney, you talk to Angela Jolie or some of those people and get past the spin and everything, there's a reason they're into some of the things that they're doing to help people in third world countries. It has nothing to do with the publicity. They don't need any more publicity. They're touching into something very deep within them that gives them more satisfaction than any Oscar they'll ever walk off stage with. And George Clooney said something to that very nature when he was interviewed recently.
Yeah, there's a documentary called Happy that talks about this, about how we think that there are certain levels that we'll hit that will make us happy. But all that really happens is your brain goes to the next level, right? It just looks at the next thing. And eventually you go, okay, what do I need to do to be satisfied? And in this documentary, they did a study to find what actually causes happiness, and they found that it was community and contribution.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I believe that with everything. And there's another marvelous study. Boy, I like talking to you, man. Ryan, there's another marvelous study done I saw on a TED Talk. Are you familiar with TED?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, a TED Talk.
He's a good guy, that TED.
Talking about the blue zones in the world, and I mentioned this in the book Fully Alive as well. Places where people live longer than they live anyplace else, well into their hundreds, and all of them have those same things in common. Those people live active lives, number one. Number two, those people have community, and all of them are in some kind of relationships where giving is important, where giving of themselves to benefit somebody else.
Yeah. And, you know, what's interesting is we live in this world now where we're supposedly more connected than we've ever been, right? I can send you a text. We're having this. Yeah. You're on your phone. I'm on Skype. I'm recording it. And we're supposedly all connected. And yet I think we're lonelier than we have ever been as a society. And I know, I mean, I have friends all over the world because I travel, I blog, and I speak, and I know you do too. And there's times when I wake up and I'm like, man, I'm so alone. Yeah, it's such a paradox that we're more connected and yet so alone.
Absolutely. And I believe that it's almost like you've read my book, dude. I'm telling you. I believe this so truly, Ryan, that those are great relationships. But it's like dating a girl. The real relationship, the love that all of us require, the community that we require, is not consummated until flesh meets flesh. I feel a connection with you because of what we're talking about over the phone. I mean, we resonate. We're on the same page. But there's a deep part of me that wants to reach out and shake your hand and go to dinner with you and talk to you and look into your eyes and see.
I'm a hugger, Ken, so I would be hugging you, just so you know.
You'd be hugging me?
Yeah, I'm a hugger, so just you know.
Okay, well,
I'd ignore your handshake.
My desire to meet you just went down just a little bit. no, seriously, that's what we need. That's what we need. And it's okay to take advantage of social relationships. But if we believe for a second that they replace flesh-to-flesh, eye-to-eye relationships where you can actually get hurt, then we're missing out on life. I make this statement, too, that pain is a part of life. And we live in a culture where we do everything we can to avoid pain.
Everything.
Including avoiding deep, meaningful relationships.
How true is that? How true is that? I think that reflects on a lot of, you know, the divorce rates and
And
people just feeling isolated is that's where they're safe, right?
Yep. My little girl, she was 3 years old. I have a picture of her. I think I'll email it to you if you remind me. She was 3 years old. We were headed for the lake, and I teach all my grandchildren to water ski.
Beautiful.
At 3. And so she's in the car, and it's quiet, and she said, do I have to do this? And I said, well, no, I'm not going to force you to do it, but this is your time. This is the time. And she said, will I fall? And I said, yes, honey, you will fall. And she's the most beautiful little girl, blonde hair, blue eyes, just the sweetest little thing. And she put her head on my chest, and she said, will it hurt? And I said, yes, it'll hurt, but it'll be worth it.
Mm.
It'll be worth it. And I have a picture of the smile on her face as she's water skiing around the lake at 3-some years old. She was almost 4, I think. And the smile on her face lights up the entire lake. Do you want to live? Yes. Will you fall? Yes. Will it hurt? Yes. But it'll be worth it.
Hmm. It's kind of like a phrase that I really love that is, and I found it always to be true, which is the fear of something happening is always worse than it actually happening.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no reason to be afraid.
No. And my friend Andy Andrews spoke at one of our conferences once where we teach these principles, and he said, somebody raised their hand and said, well, what if I fail? And Andy's response was so cool. He said, you will fail. Do it quickly. Get it over with. the only people who accomplish anything are people who fail, learn from it, and do it better the next time.
Yeah.
People who don't fail are laying in front of a church with all their relatives going past saying, doesn't he look good?
Hmm. Hmm. I had a professor in college who gave us a speech when he left, and he said, a life without risk is one that's not worth living.
Oh, absolutely.
And I believe that to my core. It's been very rare that I've regretted a risk. I've had it occasionally, but it's very rare because even when you fail, chances are you learned something, you grew, you met someone, you failed forward.
Yeah.
It's actually really almost impossible to fail because if you learned something, then you're one step closer to whatever goal that it is that you wanted, right?
Wait a minute.
The only failure is doing nothing, and I've always regretted not doing something, always.
Yeah. I need to write that down, fail forward. I'm going to use that and say I made it up.
Copyright Ryan Daniel Moran.
Fail. Is there a book? Did you say there's a book or something named that?
No, I said copyright Ryan Daniel Moran. Me.
Oh, no. You've never even said that to me. In fact, I was thinking it before you said it, and so it's mine. Sorry.
Ken, I'm actually really curious about these events and these programs that you put together. I'm curious. I didn't know about these, so enlighten us.
Okay. Well, we have several seminars and online courses. I don't know if you know this. I am in partnership with a wonderful man by the name of Michael Hyatt, who was the CEO and president of Thomas Nelson Publishing for many years. And we do actually 3 seminars and 3 conferences and online training. One is based on his book, Platform, which was a New York Times bestseller, on how to use social media to be heard in a noisy world. So you have a desire, something in you. You want to make a living doing what you were born to do. How do you let people know? In this world, there is a way to use social media in a very strategic way that can build a huge tribe of followers and raving fans for you. And then we have another one we do called Launch, which helps people get off the ground in the business area of launching a career, doing what they want to do. We use the principles we used in my career. I had a manager who was an absolute genius. He was in his late 20s, I think, when he first started managing me. And the principles he used just shot us. I mean, it just catapulted us forward. We failed forward. I love that. Yeah. I'm so glad I thought of that. And then the third one we do is called SCORE, which teaches people to communicate with clarity and power. And when you put those 3 together, you have a foundation that really allows you to build a marvelous career. And we can trace some people who started with nothing, started with a dream, and today their dreams are coming true because they had a plan to make it happen. Hmm. And, of course, all of that's on our website, kendavis.com. And you can also find it on Michael Hyatt's website, michaelhyatt.com. And we love doing that. We love I don't know how you would say this, investing what we have learned into the lives of people who want their dreams fulfilled in the same way we've had our dreams fulfilled.
So, Ken, it sounds like what you really are helping people do right now is get clear on what it is that makes them feel fully alive, and then you give them the strategies to take steps in that direction.
Yep, you nailed it, and that's the first step. What is it that makes you feel fully alive? You know, they're even in a mundane job. You know, I thought of this just a little while ago. Our friends and the people we love of the opposite sex often feel, or even men feel trapped in raising a family. And yet within the realm of that responsibility, that definite responsibility for both men and women, are opportunities to breathe life into that part of us that we were designed to live fully alive. And not only that, but it doesn't have to be immediate gratification. We can move toward building a platform that will allow us one day when we are freer to launch into this. Life has its moments of responsibility. There are times when I have to dive into stuff that I don't particularly enjoy doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I can live through that, not only just survive it, but thrive in the midst of it, because I find little moments even in the midst of it to be what I was created to be. Plus, I realize that my plan and my strategy is whenever I am free to be able to do what it is that I love doing.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm almost 70 years old. I have no desire to retire. None. I'm going to retread and get another 150,000 miles out of this wrinkled package of forgetfulness.
You know, I remember my moment in which I kind of had this similar breakthrough that you had, and I was 23, and I'm 26 now, and I was hiking up a mountain, and I was just coming out of this period in which I felt just totally trapped in my business and my work. I had just broken up with my fiance. I felt like I had lost everything, and to be honest with you, I didn't even know if I wanted to live anymore.
Uh-huh.
It was just awful.
I understand that.
And I was hiking up this mountain, and I was with two of my best friends in the world, and I'm hiking up, and I remember we got closer to the top of the hill, and I started to get exhausted, and all of a sudden all my focus was on hiking, and just one step, and I started just feeling like this aliveness where I had to make it up the mountain, and we get to the top, and there's this large, you'd have to like rock climb up to the very top.
I know. Yeah.
you know where I'm talking about.
I've been up several 14,000 foot mountains. Yes.
Okay, great. Yep. So we get to the top, you've got a rock climb to the top, and my two buddies were at the clearing. It was this beautiful view, worth every step, and they're like, okay, this is good. And I said, we got more to go, guys.
Yeah.
There's a 100-foot rock wall here. And they said, Ryan, that's like really dangerous. And I was like, oh, you guys are probably right. And then I had this little voice in my head that said, 3 months ago, you didn't even know if you wanted to live anymore.
Yep.
Climb the rock.
That's right.
And I hiked up to the top and I let out this yell and I just felt this aliveness in which it was like, I realized that at any moment, you know, we could blink an eye and all of this could be over.
That's right.
And so we might as well enjoy and sop up every ounce of life that exists to us. And there's certain things, certain road signs along the way that remind me of that.
Yep.
Every time I seem to forget it, it could be my 2-year-old nephew saying, Uncle Ryan. It could be seeing an old friend. It could be the moment where I fall back into old patterns and I'm unhappy and then I remember. You know, sometimes that's a great reminder, and you really remember that this life is meant to be abundant, and we have that available to every single one of us.
And And there's no guarantee about tomorrow.
Never.
No guarantee about tomorrow. And so you live a combination of common sense that kind of prepares for tomorrow, but an abandonment that lives for the moment and today. I love that illustration of climbing the mountain that you just gave. That is so, so true. I have a friend, Patsy Claremont, who suffered from agoraphobia. She traveled, well, I won't give that part away yet, but anyway, Patsy eventually was confined to her bed. It started in like a grocery store she couldn't go back to, a church she couldn't go back to, and then she couldn't go outside, and then she could only stay in her room, and eventually she was laying in bed. And Patsy said, she said this prayer from bed, what can I do next? And I want to compare this to what you said. The little voice said to you, climb to the top.
Mm-hmm.
The little voice said to Patsy. Have you heard this story?
I haven't, no. Keep going.
Okay. The little voice said to Patsy, and she believes it was the voice of God speaking to her, said, make your bed. And she got up and made her bed. And she got sick of unmaking it, climbing back in and making it. So one day she decided, well, I'll vacuum. And she vacuumed. And today, Patsy Claremont travels the world speaking to women and men and women,
wow,
and corporations, and telling her the story of how, or telling the story of how she found that freedom. I make this statement, and I think it's important for your listeners to hear this. Many of us say, and this kind of is a response to a question you asked before, what do I do? What can I do? Many of us say, well, I've never been close to the top of a mountain. I don't live the life. I don't travel like you do. The important thing to do is to take, and you said this, the first step. Do you know how many people look at the top of a mountain and die never having gotten
right
there, because they just dream about being at the top and never take the moment to step across the rock in front of them and wade the stream that's just past that and crawl this dangerous 100-foot rock face that you're talking about, and move through the thorns, whatever it is that life brings. It's one step at a time. A body in motion tends to stay in motion. A body at rest, I say, tends to rest in peace. So move. For God's sake, move. Take the first step.
Mm. Yeah, I read the best book I've read in quite a while was called The Slight Edge, and it's by Jeff Olson, and he just hammers the point into someone's brain that, you know, if you start with a penny and you double it every day for a month, it's worth over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And what most people say is they want the $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what you need is the penny, right?
Yeah.
And regardless of what it is in our goals and our lives, we don't need to look at the top. All we need is the penny.
Yep.
And to start letting the penny develop.
Yep.
Yeah. Haven't you found, Ken, that once you are able to let go and kind of live in that place of purpose and passion, haven't you found that you love more fully, you give deeper, you do your best work? It's almost it's almost like the world is your oyster now, and you get to enjoy it all.
Yes. And it's very interesting because it's almost a conundrum. When you come to the point when you realize it's not all about you, and when you come to the point where you seek to live rather than to, or to give rather than to be known or whatever it might be, there is this amazing thing that comes back to you again. But it can't start with it's all about me. It starts at that other place. And it comes back to this fulfillment that you never dreamed could be possible. I had it, I lost it, I regained it. I'll tell you one of the major things that happened to me. And again, I am shamelessly promoting my book Fully Alive and the DVD of the movie. But my little granddaughter, 4 years old, the same one that said, "Will I fall? Will it hurt?" walked away from a campsite at 10,500 feet in the wilderness of Colorado. We were up just camped in the middle of nowhere, and I went out to get some firewood, and she loved me so much, she came and followed me, and my wife, her grandmother didn't know she thought that we were together, and of course I thought she was with her grandmother. And she was lost in a wilderness for 3.5 hours. And in those moments of abject terror, I can't describe it. There really are no words. Your heart, you are so helpless. You run in every direction. I screamed until my voice was gone. The whole family was in a panic looking for this little girl. Storms are rolling in over the mountaintops, and it can drop to 40 degrees and rain in a heartbeat. And I remember falling on my knees and saying, God, you can have everything. My life, everything. Mm. Just please bring this little girl back. It all boils down to, Ryan, the people we love, the God that loves us, and doing something that is bigger than we are to help people live fully alive. Yeah. And when that little girl was found, they found her, by the way, 2.5 miles straight up the mountain. They told us little kids don't go up the mountain. A teacher found her sitting on a rock and said, are you okay? And she said, I can't speak to you. That's true. So the teacher said, I'm a teacher. I'm not a stranger. I'm a teacher. And she said, are you okay? And my little granddaughter began to weep uncontrollably, she said, and just fell in her arms and said, my grandpa is lost. And they came back, and I remember holding her in my arms. I didn't scold her, didn't do anything. I just said, I love you. I love you. I love you. And those words, that's it. That's the bottom line. You can have everything, and unless you have people you love and people that love you and a sense that life is bigger than just you, you haven't got much.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who seem to have everything and don't have that. And as Paul said in the New Testament, if you have that, if you don't have that, what do you have?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing. Yeah. Yeah, you're like a little bell tinkling in the wilderness.
Yeah. Well,
I have tinkled in the wilderness, by the way.
You and me both, brother. Well, Ken, it's been an absolute pleasure. Why don't you tell people where they can find the book and where they can connect with you?
Well, www.kendavis.com. The book is available there. If you look at the shop online, all the books we've written, all the videos we've made are available there. Many of those things are inspirational, but we find that people from all walks of life enjoy them. They're very realistic and very practical. So the book can be had there, the DVD can be had there, and also those three conferences that I mentioned. We have a conference coming up called Platform, based on Michael Hyatt's book on how to use social media to begin to build a base, so that people will be interested in what it is that fires you up. And all of that's available there. Just click on it. And if you need our help, let us know. We'll be happy to pick up a phone and talk to you.
And I understand one of the friends of the show, of Freedom Fastlane, either spoke at one of your events recently or was at an event with you, Pat Flynn from Smart Passive Income.
Yeah, Pat was at the Platform conference. Yes.
Yeah, great. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. These are great, great people. Also, Dan Miller talked about that kind of income. And it's so wonderful to realize, especially in this world, if there's ever been a time that it's possible to find a way to express yourself and find other people who want to hear what you want to say.
Yeah.
And if the stuff you have has benefit to other people, they will want it. And that's what social media does for us today, and that's one of the huge positive parts of it. Now, before I finish here, and I have to go too, but before I finish, I want to tell you something else.
Sure.
Hey, Ryan, where do you live?
I currently live in Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Okay, before next year is out, let's consummate this friendship. I'll shake your hand, you hug me, then I'll hug you back, and at least we'll be able to look into each other's face and say we have a new friend.
Well, I'm in Colorado about 3 times a year, so I'll let you know the next time I'm there.
Good, we'll climb a 14,000-foot mountain together.
Okay, I'll be at the top saying I lost my grandpa.
Hey, thanks so much, man.
All right. Thanks, Ken.
Woo, baby. If you don't feel inspired after that, check your pulse. Ain't it true that we spend so much time and energy worrying about earning a living and so little precious time thinking about being fully alive? You know, we talk a lot about this at the blog at freedomfastlane.com. We also talk a lot about unconnecting that tie between who you are and what you do, or who you are and how much you earn. We talk a lot about income streams and businesses that you can have that run whether you're working or not, that fill you up and untie you from the burden of working full-time. It's something that I've really gotten very good at and share a lot of experience with over at the blog at freedomfastlane.com. Be sure to check out Ken's book. You can get it on Amazon. It's called Fully Alive. If it has a fraction of the impact on you than it's had on me, then you're in for a real treat. Thanks for listening to today's call with Ken Davis. And remember to connect with us over at freedomfastlane.com. We'll talk to you soon. And remember to live fully alive.